All right, so thanks, Sifu. We're going to be talking for our fourth talk now. Mm-hmm. And today we're talking about Qi Sao, which is a huge part of our training, a huge part of Wing Chun. And it's tempting to say that we started in red sash, but in some sense we're already starting it in white sash. We sort of do it throughout the entire curriculum, it seems, with Dan Qi Sao and other exercises that are leading up towards Qi Sao, so it seems to always be sort of there in some sense.
Yeah.
I just wanted to start maybe with a big question that we can take in various ways, but what is Qi Sao? So, mm-hmm. In some sense, that question could be where does it start and where does it end in the curriculum almost?
Yeah.
Is there a way to delineate exactly what is Qi Sao? Or what are we doing in Qi Sao? Why do we do it that way?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Sure. Yeah, it's a big question, and as usual with our chats, I'll probably go off-road several times and hopefully find my way back onto the path.
Okay.
So as you said, I mean, the Qi Sao training, and loosely translated meaning sticking hands. So the sticking hands training is a big part of the Wing Chun system. I would say it's probably the most important part of the training that we do. Everything's important, but what the Qi Sao does is it really integrates a lot of maybe the micro skills or micro drills or competencies that we do in different places, and it makes it more comprehensive and integrative, and brings it really closer and closer into the realm of self-defense. I don't even want to use the word sparring, because it really isn't a sparring drill, even though a really advanced dynamic Qi Sao can maybe look like that.
Mm-hmm.
So, and the reason it's so important is because it takes, you know, a lot of the theories, the principles, the attributes, and puts it together in an incrementally more and more dynamic exercise curriculum, so that Kung Fu can really go deep into your nervous system. All the things we want to integrate now is not all these separate parts. We're really learning to respond appropriately. And now I'll just link it back to, you know, our main theory in Wing Chun, which is center line. So in Qi Sao, we're constantly training on the center line like we do in many other drills. And part of the curriculum is to first learn some of the rules of the exercise so that two people can actually do it in a cooperative way, a way that benefits both people and supports the overall learning. So, you know, the first couple of pieces of the curriculum is just learning basic movements so that you can both play the game. You're not really doing anything dynamic or exciting or whatever. You're just learning how to get into certain positions with a partner so that both of you can, you know, eventually go on an exploration. But ultimately, when we look at the Wing Chun theory of center line, so Qi Sao is really helping you have skills to continue to occupy and control the center line when somebody else actually happens to have two structured hands on center line as well. So in Wing Chun fight theory, that's probably our most difficult self-defense scenario is, well, what do you do if someone else actually has two very skilled and trained hands on center line? Everything else for us, again, I keep saying this in theory with big asterisks, and it's the last time I'm gonna say it, so now I'm gonna talk like I know what I'm talking about. I just lost my train of thought here. So
you're talking about two hands on center line.
Yes, two hands on, yeah, so that is the most difficult scenario for us as Wing Chun practitioners to deal with. So that's where we want to train. We want to train for the most difficult thing.
Yeah.
So when the center line is wide open in a self-defense situation, that is basically, you know, one thing is happening is Wing Chun people are never the aggressors, first of all. So what that means is if I have to use my Kung Fu, someone is coming towards me. So they're initiating, they're presenting a hole, and all I'm tracking is, do they have any hands on center line when they're coming, either to strike me, kick me, grab me, tackle me, whatever else. And so if the center line is wide open, all I'm gonna do is I'm just gonna step in and hit with good timing and finish it, and then that's done. If they happen to have one hand on center line, then, you know, my two hands that are trained on center line are easily gonna be able to defeat that. So the challenge is what happens if someone comes not just with two hands on center line, but two skilled hands. Because even if someone comes towards me with two hands on center line, but they don't have any skill and they don't have structured positions, my two hands will just cut through that stuff like a hot knife through butter. It's like as if nothing's there, or as if they weren't even on the center line, right? So the Chi Sao, it gives you another training partner where you're both on center line with structured techniques, learning how to actually control it, maintain it, or redirect, block, or change someone else's energy. So that links it directly to the theory, which is I want to control and occupy center line, as I probably said many times before. How that translates into a fight is if I occupy center line, I don't get hit, and I can hit anytime I want. Again, theory.
Mm-hmm.
How close we get to that in real life is another story, but again, I'm just talking about the theory within our system. So in the curriculum, you know, we start off, as you referenced earlier, with Dan Chi Sao, which is single hand Chi Sao. So we're just training one arm at a time with a partner's one arm to go through some repetitious cycles of or patterns of movement, right? Because doing two hands at the same time with different techniques, sharing center line, is just too much. And even still, as you know, like, people don't even start doing Dan Chi Sao literally, you know, somewhere between 6 months to a year,
mm-hmm.
after they basically learn just how to stand up and how to do different hand positions and do some basic stepping. So even then, we have to prepare them to do single hand Chi Sao. So what are we doing? Well, we're having them practice their stationary horse stance. They're having them learn to listen to their partner's movements, because the movements are a call and response, where one person initiates, the other one has to respond, and then vice versa. So they're learning sensitivity, they're learning timing, they're learning proper response when someone moves from one position to the other, how you will block, neutralize, or change that. So you're learning some basic ways to actually stop somebody or move them off center line or redirect them. You're learning all kinds of things. It's a great opportunity to integrate, you know, ideas like Doyen, keeping your shoulders and hips square and your orientation facing your opponent or your partner while you're training on center line. And you have to share the center line because both of you can't sort of occupy it at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
So there's all these things that we can put in there. Straight line, proper techniques, training your yi, your intention, by where you're looking while you're doing it. All kinds of things in a very simple one-armed pattern movement practice with a partner. The sticking piece, so let's talk about that, because you're also training that in this sort of continuous movement pattern with your partner, that your hands are always joined and sticking with each other. And I'm not talking about, you know, oh, I'm just lightly touching the other person, nor am I talking about grinding their arm with constant, hard, forceful energy. Sticking suggests a certain quality. That's a little bit more than just light touch, but significantly less than grinding and forcing somebody. You know, so whatever ideas or senses or metaphors come to somebody when you think of sticking, it's like you're very much attached there, you can pull away, but it's maybe not so easy. And why do we want to train sticking hands in Wing Chun? Well, one of the benefits that we have as an art is we train to respond based on the felt sense touch of the other person versus what, you know, my eyes are telling me. And I mean, depending on which sort of, you know, scientific studies you read, they say anywhere that sensate touch or movement touch is about 10 to 20 times faster in terms of being able to detect than your visual system and then being able to respond. So there's an advantage there in terms of training to notice felt movements, sensations, and in order to do that, I obviously have to have a contact with the other person in order to feel them.
Mm-hmm.
So training to stick with somebody even as they're moving their arms high, low, whatever it is on center line, is as long as they're on center line, you want to stick and have contact with that person to feel what they're up to so that you can respond appropriately. Okay. Now, we don't necessarily stick with people when they leave center line. It's not necessary in terms of Wing Chun for a fight, right? If anyone leaves center line, well, I go straight line center line and I'm gonna get contact with them. If they're leaving center line, they're gonna either have to pull their hand back, come around the side, and again, all things being equal, if I'm taking the straight line, i.e., you know, I walk the bow, or sorry, I walk the string and he walks the bow, as one of our idioms suggests, I'm going to get there first. So I'm not too interested in needing to stick with somebody or follow their arms or strikes or whatever when they leave center line. I will just go straight in and continue to hit if they leave the center line wide open. But if they're on centerline, I'm going to stick with them, and I'm going to have structure, and I'm going to have distancing, and I'm going to have the appropriate response at the right time, the right power, etc., etc., etc. So right away, you're just really starting to bring all these beautiful qualities, attributes, and principles into a very simple exercise. But it's very deep in terms of the Dan Chi Sao, single hand rolling, as we call it. When people are fairly proficient in that, then we bring them into the basic roll, the Luk Sao, where both people are sharing the center line with two hands on center line with different combinations of the three pillar techniques in Wing Chun Chi Sao practice. So those are the Tan Sao, the Fuk Sao, and the Bong Sao. So they call them pillar techniques, and my understanding around that is, number one, is their precise location is always occupying the sweet spot on the center line. So for those of us who know what center line is, it's the vertical axis of the body projected forward in front of you as far away as your fingertips if your arm is outstretched. And that vertical line is something that you want to own, occupy, and protect at all times. But there's a sweet spot on that line, and that is where my forearm or my arm goes parallel to the floor. Just goes straight out. And the point on that line, which is, you know, sort of in my chest or solar plexus area, that's the sweet spot. That's the quickest way to get contact with another person on that vertical center line. So in a fight, if I want to hit somebody or get contact first, I want to go there. And because it's more the mid-range of the upper body, it then allows me to go up to the head or low to the abdomen, which is the upper gate of the body, and that's the only gate that the hands occupy is from the waist up. Right? So I'm sort of in the middle of that bell curve that I can go high and I can go low with minimal movement, but I'm also training to occupy the place where I can hit somebody the quickest way possible. Okay? So that's why those three techniques, in my opinion, are called the pillars of Chi Sao, because they occupy that sweet spot, the Tan Sao, the Fuk Sao, the Bong Sao. Now, of course, the other thing that those three techniques have in common is a bent elbow. And so, you know, I'll just ask you, what does a bent elbow imply in a martial art technique?
I mean, I guess that there's still something there to you still can fully extend, so there's still a hit that can happen from it.
Yeah, so from the Tan Sao, Fuk Sao, Bong Sao, which have bent elbows and all those techniques, what they're not strikes.
Yeah, no.
They are blocking, deflecting, neutralizing, sensing techniques.
Yeah, and I was thinking about that while you're describing that, the three pillars are, none of them are strikes.
And so now I link that back to the theory, right?
Yeah.
So if center line is the ability to not get hit and hit anytime you want, then of course if you're able to occupy and control the center line with Tan Sao, Fuk Sao, Bong Sao, not get hit, then from those techniques that have a bent elbow, you can strike anytime you want.
Right.
So I'm just linking those two things together now.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so now they make sense.
Mm-hmm.
So if you can develop a really high skill level that when in a cooperative, very dynamic Chi Sao exercise where maybe you're on the receiving end of someone else's initiating energy, so they're going to maybe, you know, try and create opportunities, holes, or attacks, and if you can keep shutting them down with Tan Sao, Fuk Sao, Bong Sao, and continue to control the center line with them not being able to hit you, that's an extremely high level of skill where you don't actually have to hit anybody. And from that place, you can hit anytime you want. So that's what Chi Sao is actually preparing you for, is that ability. You know, I've journeyed to different, you know, Wing Chun clubs and, you know, videos on YouTube and all that. And you see quite a divergent understanding and expression of what Chi Sao is. What does it do? How is it trained? Is there a curriculum? Is it not? Is it a competition or is it cooperative? I mean, there's a lot of diversity out there, right? But for us, you know, we have a very structured curriculum that builds and integrates the skills so that you will have this very high level ability I told you about earlier to occupy and control the center line without actually having to hit somebody, but knowing you could at any one of those moments. And in some of the other clubs or videos that I've watched, you'll see that people's success, and I say that with sarcastic parentheses around that word, is they do a really quick flashy strike to make contact with somebody.
Mm-hmm.
And because maybe they have really good startle reflexes, or they're young and their nervous system is wired for a lot of quick flashy speed, but there's no structure behind it. They're breaking their doyang, they're coming out of their horse stance, there's actually no power behind the hit, but it looks really good and flashy. That's not what Chisao is meant to be doing, in my opinion. That's not gonna work in a real situation unless you're really lucky.
Mm-hmm.
So from that cooperative rolling position where I have my two hands on center line at that sweet spot in the middle of it, and my partner does, it's really easy for any one of us to just quickly flash a hand out to someone's throat without them really being able to stop it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so does that mean you have good kung fu? No, those are cheap shots. Those are cheap shots.
Mm-hmm.
And I have met very experienced, seasoned Wing Chun practitioners, some with decades of experience, continue to think that that's success, that they can turn off to the side, do a big quick throat shot, collapse the other hand, break doyang, but because they can artificially put their hand at my throat, because I'm thinking we're doing a cooperative practice, or in order for me to really shut him down, I have to hit him. If he's gonna go at that kind of speed, like, I have to hit him to stop him.
Right.
Right, but it's Chisao, so I'm not gonna do that. So there's this dilemma that if you have people practicing Chisao without understanding the same rules, process, it can become very messy, ugly, and sometimes even disturbing and violent. Because egos can escalate.
Mm-hmm.
So again, it's about, can I control that line, that sweet spot on center line? And if in our play, when my partner is feeding me some energy for me to learn from, i.e. investing in loss, or maybe he or she perceives a hole in my structure, in my arms, and they try and make a move, then great, then we learn from that experience. I try and shut him down with timing skill, and then he may or she may want to counter, and then we can do this in a very nuanced, subtle way,
mm-hmm.
where we both know without actually having to strike each other, that actually, I can strike you right now, you know I can, so you're gonna let me follow through and do three or four sequential movements so I can learn how to continue to flow in my kung fu instead of getting shut down and thwarted and stopped after, I pause and present, some hands that, for me, this is a hit, even though I'm not touching you, but the other person quickly flinches, takes the center line away, and they don't recognize that, well, in theory, I just hit you, like, let me finish a few sequences here. Because
mm-hmm.
otherwise, the skill to be fluid and dynamic and continuous with your kung fu never develops. You get those one or two shots, then all of a sudden there's this tension, and then there's a spike with arms, and then it. So that's what I learned when I first came here, almost 20 years ago, was when I was training with some local practitioners doing Chisao. For them, it was very much a competition. It was almost like sparring. Like, they weren't hitting each other hard, but they were hitting, and it would just be those one or two quick flashy moves. Or if I would do something more subtle and just present my hands, a couple inches from their face, saying, hey, like, you let me in here, but I didn't hit them, they would think that, oh, because I didn't hit them, then they can defend against that, but I've already stopped and I made it easy for them. So anyways, I'm going on and on about this, but my point is that there is, there's a ceiling in terms of your skill level that you're gonna hit if you train Chisao that kind of way.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what prompted me to then, go on and get my gold sash within our lineage and teach, because I needed to teach students the same way to train so that my training could eventually get better. Because I knew I wasn't going to progress
mm-hmm.
with the current practices that I'd been exposed to with different clubs and different lineages when I moved here. So, a little off-road there, but sort of related.
Mm-hmm.
So when we talk about the Chisao, it's training your hands to be able to continue to occupy, return to, or deal with someone else who's wanting to occupy the center line as well. And their different hand positions simulate the only four possibilities of what's possible in a fight if somebody has, coincidentally or intentionally, two hands on center line. So I'm either going to have my two hands on top of theirs, my two under theirs, I'll have one on top and one underneath, or I'll have the other side on top and the other one underneath. So there's your four different possibilities of any fight striking situation, even grappling, excuse me, where someone's hands are on center line. And so Chi Sao trains all those four positions over and over and over again, but with skilled, structured hands on center line, not just any two hands. So again, I emphasize that for us, this is the most difficult thing to deal with in a fight.
Mm-hmm.
Someone who actually knows what to do. Everything else is relatively easy. Okay. So, you know, once we learn the basic role, where we have set positions and movements, right, there's always somebody who's going to be initiating and then someone who's going to be responding. So it's not a free-for-all here, right? Someone is going to be into the Jiao Sao position, which is the running or the feeding of hands, as they say, and the other person will be in Jip Sao, which is in the receiving hands. So this way we always have a set initiator and a responder, so both can practice. You know, if I feel an opening, how do I get in there? And if someone else says, oh, someone's attacking, how do I counterattack? Right, but we do it with skill, we do it with proper technique, we take all those attributes and principles we talked about before, balance, timing, coordination, orientation, sensitivity, relaxation, straight line, center line, supporting ideas, like all of that stuff is embedded in the physical practice of Chi Sao. So once we learn the basic role, then we train, okay, what happens if someone moves you off center line? Well, then we train, how do we come back in the least amount of time, with the most relaxation, to neutralize, you know, that hand that just took me off center line? How do I deal with someone who comes in with Wing Chun attacks? So we practice set sequence drills with proper responses, right? And so then our repertoire becomes more and more expansive in terms of what your arms and hands can do in terms of techniques. And then when we're really good at that, then we start doing this with dynamic movement by pulling and pushing the person's horse while we're still rolling, while we're still changing techniques, while we're still running hands. I'm trying to pull and push this person off balance while they have to stay on center line and try and neutralize me just with their Tan Sao, Fuk Sao, Bong Sao. And still try and see if they can feel holes when I'm aggressing, if they can counterattack while their balance is being challenged. So then it becomes even more and more dynamic at that point in time, where you're running hands, changing hands, moving their balance. And that's where you're going to feel for holes. Like, you have to be a really skilled person when your balance is being constantly challenged and you're having hand positions constantly changing at the same time, right, to find a hole on center line. And so with that practice, you get the rules, you get the understanding, but more importantly, I think, is that over time, you develop these relationships with your Kung Fu brothers and sisters. And with all of those different relationships, you feel different subtleties about a person's body structure, the way they move, their cadence of movement, their intensity. And so while you're sort of like focusing on center line, you know, in the undercurrents, your unconscious awareness is picking up all this information and learning and adapting. That's why they say really important that when you're doing Chi Sao, train with as many different people as you can, different body types, personality, because all of that comes out in their basic role. And you want to give your nervous system the ability to continuously attune and then micro-attune to all the differences. And it's that ability for attunement on contact that is high-level fighting Wing Chun. Your training helps you develop that. Because in a fight, I can't do a mental calculation that, okay, this person's 4 inches taller than me, therefore I have to bring my typical standard Tan Sao technique 4 inches higher. Right, I'll be hit 20 times before I finish that thought. But all the training that we do in Chi Sao is the biggest part of that is on contact, where you don't have time to be in your left brain thinking about things. Your right brain memory synthesizes and integrates all those drills in Chi Sao you did before to actually bring something out in the moment, to occupy center line with exactly the right technique, exactly the right angle, so you can walk into the eye of the hurricane confidently to get that sweet spot on center line, do your business, finish the fight. So that's sort of an overview there with a little bit of the curriculum built in there, but maybe I'll pause now if for no other reason than I'll sip of my coffee, but also see if there's any follow-up questions on that big download.